Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we are watching episode 260, Power Rangers in Space, episode 10, The Wasp with a Heart.
There you go. Yeah, reaching deep for that one. It aired April 4th, 1998, written by Judd Lynn, directed by Koichi Sakamoto, who is also the action director on the show. So now he's doing double duty. He has to direct the action and the non-action.
So the fight guy is directing everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think in Time Force he just does like most of the episodes. Well, that's for much later. Today we have a guest with us to help us talk about this episode. We got Joe Hunter on the show.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hello, Joe.
Hi.
Hi. Joe, we ask a couple questions of all of our guests.
Okay.
And they are, in no particular order, how did you get into Power Rangers?
How did I get into Power Rangers? I think I just ended up watching it after watching the commercials when it first came out. God, this is a really boring answer.
Everyone's answer, and everyone in our age bracket is the same. It's, I was a kid when Power Rangers was on.
Yeah. So
that's how I got into the show.
Me too. It was on in the morning once before school, and now here I am doing a podcast about it.
You're just a regular average life trajectory.
It was only going one way.
Right. So what is your favorite season of Power Rangers?
Oh, God, favorite season. Probably RPM.
Okay.
That's like probably everyone's answer, but, you know.
I don't know. Have we gotten RPM yet?
It's weird. I hear like a lot of good praise for RPM, like at large from everybody. But I don't think anybody who's guested on the show has picked it yet.
Yeah, we've had Wild Force. We had Shannon's was Time Force. I think Annie said Gokaiger, which is a little cheaty. You also watch the Sentais, though, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite Sentai?
Probably Gokaiger.
Okay, that's fair. I've heard nothing but good stuff about Gokaiger, so
it's excellent.
It's on the list. Who is your favorite of the Rangers on the show so far? Who is your favorite ranger?
So far. Oh, boy.
Just up through in space.
Yeah, probably Billy, I guess.
Okay, that's a popular answer.
Yeah.
He was a good character. He was a nerd, and then he was a hot dad, and then he was then he was like kind of the worst for a little while he was pretending to not be the Gold Ranger. But that's not his fault. Josh, do I have any other questions? I feel like that's usually it.
That was three. I think that's all of them.
That's about all of them? That's it?
Okay.
All right, good. Also, real quick, what's your favorite Kamen Rider?
Oh, crap.
See, I knew that'd be a trickier question.
Yeah, probably Forza, I guess.
Nice. That's the only one I've seen any of, except for, like, Masked Rider, which doesn't count even a little bit.
No, we don't talk about that.
Masked Rider is not a Kamen Rider.
No, he is bad. And that car wanted to have sex with him so bad. It's so weird. Why did they do that on a kid's show?
And then there's Furbus, who is like a whole different batch of horrifying fetishes.
Oh my God. Yeah, just so weird. Just so weird. It's like the middle stage between Furby and Larigo. And it's horrible. It's just horrible. Anyway, with all that said, we are going to go watch A Wasp of the Heart right now. Let's rock it!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Rangers in Space!
And we're back, and we just watched A Wasp with a Heart, and it wasn't great.
It was an episode.
It was an episode of Power Rangers.
Yeah.
They did film it. I have seen worse episodes, but I have also for sure seen better. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So is HeyJakeAndJosh.com. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on Google. You can Google us.
I think Discord is what you wanted to put
there. I did, yeah. We're on Discord. We got a Patreon exclusive Discord, so if you go there, I'll talk about Patreon in a second. You guys know the drill. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you want to leave us a rating and review, that would be awesome. We'd really appreciate it. And finally, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. If you go there and donate as little as $1 a month, you get some cool stuff in return, including some more Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes coming out soon, because we just hit that milestone and have no self-preservation, I guess. I'm kind of excited to watch more. I'm kind of excited.
I want to see what 30 more episodes of this show could possibly be.
There were that many?
There was 40 episodes.
Oh, dear God.
We've done 5. There's only 10 monsters total, so they just keep cycling through them. This show was made for $9.
More of this over on patreon.com/AJ and Josh.
Anyway, all that's out of the way. This is a Friday episode, so we don't do emails. Also, we have a guest on, so we don't do emails or anything when we have guests on.
That's right.
So, are you guys ready to talk about Wasp of the Heart?
I guess.
That's just the seal of approval I was looking for. We start off on a bee that we definitely saw in season 2. It was Spelling Bee, right?
I'm looking it up.
Who was also Grumblebee? This bee was at least 2 people before.
Yeah.
Which is a weird choice that they decided to, let's triple up on that.
So.
Oh, you found it?
It is Grumblebee.
Okay.
Was that the one with the poison silly string or?
It might be.
I think you're right.
From Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park.
What a deep cut title that is.
Oh my God.
Which is a Mighty Morphin 1, or Mighty Morphin Season 1 episode.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have a quote on here from him.
Oh,
Hemi. And he guesses what that might be.
I'm a Grumblebee, girl, I'm mad.
No.
No?
That's not it. It's, you better beware.
Oh.
Ah, clever.
Well.
Don't worry, we're going to get a couple more stingers in this episode.
Oh, Jesus, Josh.
God, I hate you.
We're starting. Oh, thankfully. Thank God someone's on board with the puns. I've been waiting my whole life for this moment.
This is the first time I have been outnumbered.
Yes. So this bee is, Joe, what is this bee?
I just have in my notes, gay panic wasp monster.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's nailed it. Got it in one. he's flouncing around, like skipping kind of.
He's mincing.
Yeah. And he's exactly. And he's,
I believe this is frolicking.
Is some pretty grade A frolicking. Yeah.
Yeah. He's picking flowers and singing about how he wishes he was a honeybee. And it's like just too far into camp that you're like, all right, you guys are.
It's uncomfortable. Yeah,
yeah. It's like, you don't get it. I don't think you get what you're doing. Like, because we've seen this episode before. There's been a dozen. I'm a monster, but I don't want to be a monster, or I'm bad at being a monster. And then the Power Rangers happens to it. So we've seen it before. This is the first time where it's like, you went there with it. Okay. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Also, he just exists, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, all of the monsters this season just exist. Nobody makes them or summons them or anything.
But on Earth, it's weird. I don't know. I feel like we haven't gotten a lot of monsters except for like Volthog and then that one other one that was a decoy that time that they killed like immediately.
Oh, yeah. The Ninja Turtle killed him.
Yeah.
The Ninja Turtles killed that guy. I don't remember his name, but he was also a Voltage Hog.
I don't think he got a name. I think he just got murdered by Ninja Turtles.
What a way to go. So then this other bee comes in. A much cooler looking bee comes in. His name is Sting King. He's a bee. They're wasps.
He's a Mega Man X Maverick.
For sure.
Stingman.
Stingman is basically like cyberbullying Wasp. We'll find his name later. I just call him Waspy for the whole time because he doesn't get a name till halfway through out of nowhere.
I keep thinking it's Waspinator, but that's a Transformer. So.
See, that's what I Googled at first, and I was like, nope.
Yeah, that's a Beast War. That's one of my favorite Beast Wars. So Sting King is like, hey, shoot this rock with your eye lasers that we all know you have. And we're like, oh, of course, sure, like a wasp would.
Why not?
And so finally he, like, relents and blasts a rock. And he didn't want to fire at the rock because he doesn't want to, like, do damage.
Right. Well, he would have killed the Attitude Era if he had done that.
Yep. So he blasts the rock after, like, being bullied into it. And then he's like, yeah, I can kill the Power Rangers. Who's better than me?
It's literally like he doesn't want to shoot the rock, and then Sting King, who's the cooler one,
yeah,
is like,
shoot the rock though.
Shoot the rock, and then he does, and it like blows up, I think. And then, then he's like, you could do that to the Power Rangers, and you could be written in history books. And that's what it took to sway him into being a bad guy.
He was not holding out for a lot, I guess, because it was just like people will remember you. Waspy, sit down. Power Rangers kill everybody. you're not gonna beat them. You're not the ones. Then we cut to the theme song, and when we come back, we're in the woods still, in a different part of the woods, on Professor Phenomenus, aka Old Cans, and Bulk and Skull. Joe, have you heard that episode yet? Our theory.
I don't know.
Okay, it was like, I think it was the last one that went up. So it was okay.
It's called Cans, Old Cans, and Unwanted Trash.
Okay, yeah, our new headcanon is that Professor Phenomenus is Skull from the future, who came back in time for some reason. But everything lines up if you watch, because he always knows where there's going to be a monster attack, because he was there when he was Skull.
Ah, gotcha. Well, it beats my creepy senile grandpa theory, so, you know.
I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Professor Phenomenus has a lot of problems.
He does.
As a character. And I think the old cans theory makes him tolerable.
Yeah. It's easier to write old cans than it is Phenomenus. I just can't spell that. So he is there, and he's looking at a beehive, like a regular beehive, through binoculars. And he's like, there it is, the alien pod. And it's like, no, that's definitely not how aliens work. Because, like, you've seen a beehive before. You're a human being alive on the planet. You're so old, you have to have seen a beehive.
Oh, I think there's two things at work here.
Okay.
He is so old, so can he even really see what it is?
Oh, that might... Well, he's got glasses on. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt.
And two, he's got trained eyes.
you're right. Skull is like, no, that's a beehive. And then we get the perhaps to the untrained eye that we got to get in, contractually obligated to get that in every episode. Go get the beehive, and... This is a bad idea, and I don't know why Bulk and Skull decided to, like, go with him, even on the chance that it is an alien pod, because, like, best case scenario, an alien comes out of it.
Yes.
Joe, how are you feeling about this beehive?
Not great, Bob.
The thing about this beehive that gets me is that as soon as he hears bees in it, he's like, oh, it's a beehive, and then drops it, and then runs away from the bees, and...
The terrible CGI bees.
Yeah, oh, these are some good... They're just little, like, black and yellow fuzzies flying out of it. I mean, look, they didn't have the budget that they will have later in this episode that the Sentai series had, so I can understand that. But they get away from the bees. Has anybody ever been chased by a swarm of bees?
No.
Can't say that I have.
Oh, it's... A bummer, I'll tell you that. It wasn't bees, it was wasps. Me and a friend were in the woods out behind his house, and a tree had been just like the inside of a tree was just toe-to-tip wasps. I don't know what we did. We aggravated them. It was our fault. We were the aggressors. And then we were chased by wasps, and fortunately for me, he was tastier and or slower, so he got the brunt of it. And I didn't. I don't think I got stung once. He got ruffled by those wasps, though. Then we cut to the Astro Mega ship. Sorry, can't believe I missed this. They get away, but then there's Waspinator, just like, "Hey, fellas, these aren't the Power Rangers." Like, he was like, "I'm gonna kill the Power Rangers." These aren't the Power Rangers, but he's like, "I'm gonna chase you for a while. That's my goal right now." I guess I just don't know his plans. I guess I just don't understand his motivations.
I don't think he has...
He doesn't really have motivation, really.
His motivation is to be in the history books.
Wait, okay, what book?
History.
The book of history. Oh, yeah. Of course. How foolish of me.
Because you know if the Power Rangers are defeated, that's going into the 11th edition of the current history book.
You're right. Which is crazy because people don't believe in the Power Rangers, I guess, in a lot of places. Like in Angel Grove sometimes, they don't think about it.
Yeah, Patrick in the last episode was like, you're lying about Power Rangers. They're not real.
What weekly monster attacks? God, you guys.
Yeah, right? For 5 years? That would be like forgetting that you had to go to school in like 11th grade. So we cut to the Astro Mega ship, and Cassie is checking the fuel systems, and maybe more systems, but she's like, how are the fuel systems? And Deca's like, they're great. And then there's the disturbance on Earth, which is Bulk and Skull are being chased by Waspinator, which is, I like to think that there is a channel on their, like, alert system that's just like, is Bulk and Skull okay? Because they get into a lot of trouble.
The alert sound is just the Bulk and Skull theme song.
Oh, <that's laughs> have we heard that this season?
I don't think so, now that you've mentioned it. Or either that, or it's just so ingrained in our brains that it's just background noise.
Was it? It wasn't in this episode.
I don't think so.
Didn't hear it.
How do I miss that awful sound?
They're definitely still making sound effects when they move.
That's for sure. So Cassie's like, all right, let me go check that out. So we teleport. Well, she teleports. We don't.
There is a shot of her, like, rocketing out of the Astro Megaship, but I thought for a second that was the Dark Fortress and that Astronomer was just shooting Earth for a minute.
She lands and she's like, all right, time to check it out. And then we cut over to Bulk Skull and Phenomenus trying to get into the van, but oops, Professor Phenomenus moonlights as a janitor and has 100 keys on his key ring.
Too many keys.
And he can't get in there.
I have four keys technically, but one of them's decorative because it's a boss key from Zelda.
Okay, I was going to say, yeah, you can't open anything with that. So you can't unlock the van, and they run around to the other side when Waspinator comes. I'm just going to call him Waspinator now. I hope everyone's cool with that. That I have renamed him Waspinator because we will find his name out in a minute. But, like, Cassie just knows his name, and we'll talk about it. It's very strange. So they run around to the other side. Waspinator looks under, is like, oh, I'm going to sneak attack you.
It's not a sneak attack if you freaking announce it.
Right, if you yell it out loud. Buddy, come on. I know you're bad at being a monster, but this is just common sense stuff. So then he, like, literally, like, Pink Panther, like, bounces on his toes around. And it's like, okay, we're still doing this. All right. And then when he gets to the other side, a legitimately great joke happens where there is just three pairs of freestanding pants and no people in them. Which is, I don't know what I was expecting.
It was not this.
It wasn't this.
I was expecting him to find them over there and Cassie to, that was when Cassie jumped.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I was not expecting their pants to just be there and them to be trying to sneak away without pants.
That's the best part, is they're like 5 feet away. Like, they haven't gotten far, so Lothar just, like, turns to his left and is like, oh, there you are in your undies now. Sometimes, like, even in bad episodes, the show's got good stuff. So, at least there's one good thing. This is when Cassie jumps in, and she kicks Waspinator out of the way and turns around and sees them all in their undies. And it's like, oh my god, I'm sorry. I'm not looking. I'm so sorry. Oh my god.
That was pretty great.
It was. She's just so embarrassed by their pantslessness. Then they fight, not Cassie and the three pantsless men. Cassie and Waspinator fight. That'd be a different show. So her and Waspinator fight, and at some point she pulls out her Statolite stunner. She gets knocked down once. She does get back up again, for everybody wondering, because you're never going to keep Cassie down.
You're right.
She pulls out her Satellite stunner and, like, shoots him, and he loses his mind.
So he was just, like, beating her up, basically.
Yeah.
And then she shot him, and he was like, how could you do this to me?
I don't know what happens immediately afterwards, because I was writing down, oh, he's so mad that he just, like, lays into her like he's, like, Punch Man. What's Red Puncher? What was Zio's?
Red Puncher.
Red Puncher.
Yeah.
Just Rad, like, Puncher.
Just, like, laying into her and then, like, knocks her down and gets her Satellite stunner somehow? What happened?
He knocked it out of her hand because he jumped up and, like, grabbed her by the wrist that she was holding it with and then knocked it out of her arm.
Okay.
And then threw her down, and then I think he just picked it up.
Because I looked up and she was on the ground and he had her gun and I was like, uh-oh, what happened? He's like, I'm going to kill you right now, Power. He doesn't say that. I'm going to blast you. I'm going to end you, et cetera, et cetera. Then she's like, no, don't. And he's like, okay. And she's like, she says my favorite line, you're a monster with a heart. It's, yeah. Well,
he gets mad.
He gets mad. He's like, well, no. Now I'm going to shoot you. And she's like, wait. And he's like, okay. And then the Power Rangers show up, which, this is when she says, don't shoot me, Waspicable. Cassie, how did you know his name?
The magic of plot holes.
Also, I guess. This name was their own creation. So the people who wrote this episode named a monster who's good in his heart waspicable. Well, as in despicable. Yeah, but he's good.
I think we all figured out the etymology of it. It's I'm still more worried about how she like Googled him while she was, because she doesn't have the scanner. If it was Ashley, I would buy it, because Ashley has the scanner helmet thing. She just has a phone in her head. she called 411. Is what happened.
411. What's his name? What's and the operator was like, waspicable.
Waspicable. So the others jump in, and Cassie's like, no, don't shoot him. He didn't shoot me. We can't shoot him. That's the law. But also, why are the Power Rangers so late?
That's the running theme of this episode, is Power Rangers are late.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think? Why are these Rangers just showing up now?
The budget.
Yeah. There is a weird thing later, because I was thinking the same thing, because they show up and they're in later, and Cassie will demorph at a later time, but nobody else does. But then they do, and it's like, why so late? Were they like all in in traffic? Like they were carpooling to work, and they're like, we can't come in right now. We're in traffic, because California is just like a traffic black hole. And it's like, okay, we'll just have the suit actors stand around for 10 minutes. That's much later, though. We'll get there. He flies away, and she thinks that she hurt his feelings, and they treat this like it is this big revelation. But, like, we, the viewer, have seen this whole time that, like, he has feelings.
He's a monster with a heart.
He's a monster with a heart. It's very Power Rangers thing to do. Be like, no, kids, he has feelings. Yeah. Let's say it out loud. Then, okay, my notes get a little fuzzy here. Because we cut to him. So you guys are going to have to help me fill in some blanks. So we cut to him people watching. And I guess he's like, I'm going to kill these people.
And he fantasizes about attacking a guy who's apparently cosplaying as Fraser's dad. I don't know.
Yeah, he
Papa Fraser.
He's like, because I looked up and he was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. And it was blurry around the edges. And I was like, okay, this can't be real.
When we first cut to the screen, it's like from Waspicable's point of view, like looking through the bush, and it's just a butt shot on this dude in front of the ice cream truck. Like he's bent over in front of the ice cream truck for no reason, and then stands up and buys an ice cream,
picking up a quarter that he dropped.
It doesn't need to be a butt shot.
I don't know. It didn't need to be. Point.
It wasn't even a good butt. Sorry.
No, it's like just like some old flat dude butt.
We don't
like,
know
just
he's
like...
old because the the fantasy that Waspicable.
Well, this is a different person.
Together.
This is not the person that he wanted to.
No, it is, because he's got the fisherman's hat.
Oh, well, then it was a very old butt if it was the same dude.
Because we only see him from the back, and Waspicable's like, yes, I'll be a monster. And he fantasizes about, like, scaring this guy so hard that he falls over a picnic table.
That's very scary.
But in his fantasy, the guy's, like, 28.
Yeah, he's like, a murderable age.
Yeah.
To Waspinator. And then he goes up, so then he goes to enact it, and he pulls it around, and the oldest man alive is like, ah! And he's like, oh, God, I'm so sorry.
And he knocks his food tray on the ground, and Waspicable's like, let me help you get that. I didn't know you were, why are you an old man?
I fantasized you were hotter. No, wait, that came out wrong.
Is that it? Are they still going back to that? You think that's the reason?
Oh, God, I didn't even think of that.
This episode making a lot of choices. So then our boy Clippy shows up. Ecliptor walks in with some Quantrons and is like, hey, what are you doing? You have to kill people. And this is before the next time he attacks people, right? This isn't all the same scene?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because they must come back behind another bush.
All I know is that he socks him in the gut. Like, he just, like, straight up, like, sucker punches Waspinator.
He also has a Ecliptor, I'm talking about, has, like, a new forearm on his right arm. It's, like, huge and kind of jagged.
He's
been recrafted again.
Yeah. Apparently, he does, like, die and come back. Like, that's his gimmick in Mega Ranger.
He has like, four different forms or something.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Have you seen Mega Ranger?
Bits and pieces.
Okay. Have you seen the episode with the wasp monster in it?
No.
It'd be too easy for us. Because the cool wasp monster is a Mega Ranger monster. And right. I guess they saw that and they're like, one's not enough.
There's a slight difference between Grumblebee and Waspicable.
There is.
That's Waspicable's silver codpiece.
Oh, dear.
I did not know this.
Yeah, he's like silver in the crotch area.
Just gotta...
Whereas Grumblebee just
has a crotch.
Yeah.
So that you're what you're telling me is that
he's got one piece of kiss gear.
Yeah, he's or that's his weak spot, which is where most dudes' weak spots are. Yeah. So like
you better keep it safe from the Megazord, is all I'm saying.
Man, that Megazord loves to punch crotches, huh? I think it's just Andros. I think Andros is like not like on KO 35. There's no such thing as fighting dirty, so it's just like,
yeah, they don't have martial arts on KO 35.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, he's got a crotch, kick him in it 9 times and see what happens. Then from there, because Ecliptor sucker punches Waspinator, and then from there we cut to them at like a different park, I guess, or like a birthday party.
Yeah, it's like a horrible 90s fashion orgy birthday party picnic.
Cassie is there, and I didn't notice this until after they started shooting at people. Just Cassie, I guess Cassie knows this little girl,
I guess, or it's like a volunteer thing for school.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
She goes to school still.
Well, they do.
We don't get enough of the Power Rangers doing community service anymore, so I'm kind of glad she's like organized a little girl's birthday party.
Or was just invited. We'll never know. What I do have, what was Cassie wearing for you, though? She's got a shirt, like a pink shirt with like big flowers, like just a bunch of large sunflowers on them, and jeans. I feel like this is my, like, this is what Cassie wears in space. Like, this is, yeah. I don't know why, this is like exactly what I remembered from in space.
It's the big jeans, I think.
I think it might be the big
whenever
jeans.
She has the big jeans on, I'm like, she's wearing her Cassie pants.
And you said there was some terrible 90s fashions. Anything else?
Oh, there's some kid in like a really horrible like turtleneck sweatpants combination that didn't really go together.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I'm throwing shade at children now.
Well, they deserved it. If they're wearing a turtleneck and sweatpants outside in California, like, you got it coming.
My God.
I didn't notice anybody else. The little girl's wearing like Oshkosh Bagosh, like corduroys and like a little kid. And that's the only other person that I noticed in this thing.
And her mom was dressed like Ashley from 2 episodes ago.
No, she was dressed like really a regular mom. Not like Ashley dressed as a hot mom a couple episodes ago for no reason. Oh. Oops, we killed our guest. The first guest murder on the show. Oops. So then, Ecliptor, I forget exactly what he says. Oh, because Waspinator's shooting at things.
Well, no, Waspinator's hiding behind a bush again. And then Ecliptor is like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm staking out the Pink Ranger and planning an attack. And then Ecliptor is like, you attack right now.
Okay. Now I feel like I got my notes wrong.
That might be, because I feel like this is when he hits him in the gut. And then Waspinator's like, well, what'd you go and do that for? And then he runs out and attacks the birthday party.
So he went from trying to kill an old man to another, the birthday party.
He was trying to kill a young man.
He was trying to kill a young man. Who happened to be an old man who is
immediately got hit with regret when the man was old.
So now that I'm on track, he leaves from trying to kill a young man who's an old man to the birthday party. Ecliptor attacks him. He's like, get out there. That's when he starts shooting at the birthday party, and there's a bunch of Quantrons there, and it's like
I think the Quantrons go out first.
Yeah.
Because then they steal the little girl's balloons. One of them is just like a giant
dong,
one is straight up a ding dong,
big blue dong,
yeah. Like, it was like it came on out like into screen, like the frame, and I was like, that's not a regular balloon. That balloon is
that's
ribbed.
A penis,
yeah. Like, and then someone grabbed it and threw it, and I was like, don't, like, you don't need to do that on this show.
Like, it's like the focal point of every shot it's in. It's ridiculous. But yeah, the Quantrons like steal their balloons and let them go into the sky. And he's like, oh, why'd you do that? You didn't have to do that. And then he just like runs in and scares all the kids away.
I know he shoots at Cassie because she like is launched off of this picnic table.
Also, much in the same way that Cassie knew his name was Waspicable earlier, he knows she's the Pink Ranger.
Yeah. What's up with that?
It's never been, at least on camera, revealed to Astronema who the Power Rangers are.
That's true. I mean, they've never been great with their secret identities.
They freaking color code themselves. I mean,
they're not trying very hard. Also, maybe Diva Talks just like sent her a text. Like, oh, it's Cassie. is the Pink Ranger.
Texted her photos.
Yeah. I'm gonna text you a photo. Ecliptor comes in and he's like, I forget what he says, but it's definitely a dad joke.
Oh, it was after Waspinator attacked. He was like, now you're getting into the sting of things.
Dad joke Clippy is back.
That doesn't even make sense. God, I hate everything.
It makes Power Rangers sense.
It's a fine joke.
I mean,
I would tell it, so how bad could it really be?
Well, it could be very bad. yeah, it's in the last, not the last episode, because last episode that we saw him in, he was a floating head in the sky for no reason. Time before that, he was like definitely just making dad jokes.
He was going through the whole like headless jokes from Austin Powers list.
So I'm glad that he is at least consistent, at least thus far. Maybe it's only in certain forms. He's got four bodies. Maybe one is just the dad joke body.
Oh, maybe. That means this one's head can come off and spin around and shoot lasers.
I think that one had a cape, and this one doesn't have a cape. All right, back to the drawing board on this series. Four Quantrons are holding Cassie because they know that if there's less than four, someone's getting killed. And then Waspinator is like, or Ecliptor is like, shoot her with your eye lasers that I guess are super powerful. I don't think it's ever said, but I guess they're just like super good eye lasers.
He does have to like charge them up.
Yeah.
Is that why they want him to do it? Is because he's got these real great eye blasts?
I don't know.
Well, because like other than that,
I think they want him to do it because he doesn't want to do it and they're bullies.
That makes sense.
Peer pressure.
That also makes a lot of sense. Okay, so he can't bring himself to blast her. And Ecliptor's like, do it or else. And he's like, okay, fine. So he charges up and he shoots. And then we cut to commercial. And I bet when I was 8 or 9, I was freaking out. Because I was like, no, you were supposed to be a good guy. You didn't want to kill her. And now you're killing her. And then...
destroying her.
Destroying her.
Can't say kill on a kid's show.
You can now. In the third episode of Gravity Falls, they're like, we're killed. They literally say, kill those children. And I was like, wow, TV's come a long way, huh? We come back from commercial, and he shoots again. But we've been pranked. He shoots one of the Quantrons out and is like, oops, I missed. And Ecliptor totally buys it, even though it's the most obvious, like, miss in the world. He's like, fine, I'll kill her. All right. And so he's going up to kill her with his gigantic cyber sword. And
is this the first time we've seen his sword, or is this just the first time I've noticed it?
I feel like he's had a sword before, but I could be wrong.
I think he had it. I don't think he...
Maybe it just was never like as prevalent on camera.
It wasn't like a focal thing.
Yeah. Because it's a cool looking sword.
It is pretty. Everything about Ecliptor is like pretty awesome looking.
Yeah.
I love his design. So yeah.
Yeah. It's super cool. Then before he can cut Cassie in half, Astronema is like, hey, don't do that. And then her and Sting King walk up.
Okay, can we talk about her, like, horrifying 80s, if I could turn back time, Cher wig?
Yes.
We do. I have a segment.
Oh, sorry.
For the wigs, we definitely need to talk about this wig.
It's good that you brought it up.
I'm glad you brought it up, because we would have gone right past it.
Yeah, she's got a new wig. It's like, it's a black 80s Cher, if I could turn back time, wig. It's exactly that wig.
I don't think it's black. I think it's dark brown.
It looked sort of dark gray to me. I don't know. Whatever.
When the sun hits it a certain way, it's definitely kind of brownish, maybe?
I think it's one of the, it's like a magic eye for colors. It's like everyone sees a different color.
This wig.
Where does it rank? We've seen three. This is the fourth wig on the show.
All right, I have to start writing them down or I'm going to lose track. So this wig bumps the purple wig down. It's still at the bottom. Purple wig, worst wig, okay. Number four. Above that is the white wig. And then above that is this wig. So this is the second wig underneath the black wig.
The black, like,
two wigs
pharaoh-ish wig.
And the only reason this is above the white wig is because it's got, like, decorations, and I think that's neat. It's got, like, it's like a kind of like a jewel tiara on it, and there's, like, jewels down the back of it. Like
little dangly bits.
Which really bring it all together into a solid, not as bad as the white or purple wigs.
I think it's very 80s, and I'm kind of into it. I do like the purple wig more than you do, because I like the purple wig, period, and you don't. Joe, how do you feel about this, about her wigs as, like, as a whole?
Like, all of her wigs together?
In particular, the purple wig, because it seems to be a pretty hot, contentious point on the show.
Tacky as fuck.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I still like it. I have bad taste though, so like I can't defend myself.
I love the gimmick of like her hair is just different every few episodes, and no one ever mentions it. It's just like it's just Astronomer's thing. Is like she likes it. She likes to change her hair.
She likes her hair different. Do you think in canon, in the kayfabe of Power Rangers, that this is just her hair? Does she just dye her hair every couple days, or are these wigs?
I feel like it's magic. It's magic hair.
She's a magical drag queen.
She's glittery enough to be a magical drag queen. Drag queen, that's for sure. Because there's like a lot of glitter going on in her this episode specifically.
Yeah. I think I noticed it when she was like hiding amongst the journalists. There was just glitter all over her face.
She's like, Sting King gets to kill Cassie arbitrarily for no reason. Because they were definitely going to let make Waspinator do it, not let him do it. And then when he didn't want, he was thinking, he's like, a bee has to do this. This is a bee's duty.
Astronomer, you stupid. Ecliptor had her. Cassie was as good as dead.
Dead to rights, yeah, for sure. Sting King has, we haven't described it. Joe, why don't you, you're an artist. You have definitely a better visual sense than I do. Can you describe this monster for us?
He's a weird, skinny bee thing with like a stinger arm gun sort of deal-y do. Well, it's sort of like a beehive pattern around it and then like a stinger thing. I'm making obscene hand gestures like off to the side here.
It's pretty good. I like the look of his gun.
I'm bad at describing things. I'm sorry.
Well, my description is just if he's a Mega Man X bee robot.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I forgot that you said that earlier.
Yeah.
It's been like 10 minutes. I don't know.
Because I even feel like he's got the big Mega Man feet, but that might be wrong. I can't remember for sure.
I don't remember. I wasn't looking at his feet because he has this giant Gatling gun arm with a bayonet on it. And I was like, yeah, let me look at that. That's pretty neat. He goes to shoot Cassie, and Waspinator jumps in the way and starts charging him and is shot 100,000 times.
Yeah, he walks like, as he's taking fire on, he just walks up toward Sting King, which is a pretty cool shot, but not enough to sell me on this monster.
Yeah.
So then the others show up late. Where you guys been? What's going on, guys?
Scuba diving over the mountains.
That's the only thing that makes either that, or they were all like, Cassie's got this. Let's just chill for a minute. But Cassie didn't have this. She's just one person. I don't know. Hey, guys, what happened after that? The others show up, and I assume there's a fight. And all I remember is that eventually Cassie is pissed.
I think the Astro Gliders get summoned at one point.
Yeah, that does happen, because they end up fighting Sting King in space. Sting King hurt Waspinator by shooting him.
Yeah,
and Waspinator like got up to him, and then I think he might have just got like decked or something.
I think he tackled him.
He definitely got hurt in that battle, because then Cassie or the other Rangers come in and kicked Sting King off of him, and then Cassie was like hovered over him, like, "Oh no,
are you okay?" Yeah, and then she was like roaring mad.
Yeah,
she called the Let's Rocket, and it was a good one.
Yeah,
she was the only one that still needed to rock it.
Yeah, well, still, Josh, let me have this. It's a good morph call. They're like, hey, Waspinator, you just got your butt kicked. You should go. We'll handle this. And then the bad guys leave to destroy the city. And I was like, hey, you're in a park. You can't destroy the city from here.
Well, a good thing that Sting King teleported into space and then shot the city then, huh?
Okay, can we talk about how his gun is just suddenly magically leveling cities now? Because, wow.
It's
sorry, I'm trying not to swear again.
I was going to say, it's to scale, so when he's in space and far away from the Earth, when he shoots his gun, it's to the scale of Earth in the frame on the TV. No. So his bullet is bigger.
No, I don't think that.
No.
What I want to point out, though, is that he levels this city. Like, he shoots a building in half with his gun. But a second ago, he could not kill Waspinator with that same gun. So is Waspinator just, like, super tough?
It's the codpiece, man.
That's where he shot. He just deflected all the bullets with his crotch.
It's like a no mercy block, but with your crotch instead of
your
chest.
Oh, I don't recommend that. Cassie calls the Galaxy Gliders. And then Carlos is like, Cassie, why don't you use your satellite and the phone power that you have in your head, in your helmet, to make him not invisible?
To find his location. And then she finds him with the satellite stunner and shoots him, and that's when he comes out.
Okay. I thought he was, like, invisible. And so they were like, track him down.
He was invisible.
But that was Ashley's power, was to find invisible things.
Well, Cassie could do it too now, and she shot him visible.
Hmm. Okay. But also, the Black, like we said, like we've been saying, like, the Black Ranger and Mega Ranger is the leader. So Carlos, like, always looks super competent when he's like it, when they're morphed. I like to think that, like, in his downtime, Carlos is just like reading some manuals about being an in-space Power Ranger. Like, Zordon left a little handy book for them that only Carlos has read. Because so far, he's the only person who's like, hey, let's put all the weapons together. Hey, let's actually use your scan powers. He just, like, knows what's up. Also, he did break through reality that one time, which was very weird. So
shattered it. It's crazy.
They shoot him with their weapons, but, like, attached to their guns, which is pretty neat. Their little astro blasters, like, you take the little tiny blade clip out and you can put a whole giant weapon in there. Why you wouldn't just do that every time? Why you've taken 10 episodes before you reveal these is beyond me.
Because you can't escalate a battle unless Rita does.
Well, Zordon's not here anymore. That rule doesn't apply.
Neither is Rita. And that was the rule, was don't escalate a battle unless Rita forces you to. So they could literally just, like, get in the Megazord and stomp every monster out immediately.
But where's the fun in that, though?
Or just, like, fly fist first into the Dark Fortress.
Well, I don't think they know where it is because it's half in cyberspace. It's got that, like,
You gotta punch the not cyber half.
Okay. Yeah, sneak up on it.
What half is in the cyber and what half is out of the cyber.
Are they on the net or the web is what I want to know.
The deep web or the dark net. Who can tell?
They shoot him with their giant weapons. He falls to Earth and presumably dies on impact. Astronema is like, fire the saddle lasers. Let's do this one more again. He grows, and then they get in their Zords, and this is when I noticed, or this is when I kind of realized it. Like, I really like them. I can't wait for Mega Ranger to come out so I can check that out, because the dynamic is when they're on the ground, the Black Ranger's the leader. When they're in the Zord, it's the Red Ranger, because he was, like, recruited from being super good at Street Fighter or something.
Yeah.
And, like, in the last episode or the episode before that, there was, like, a lot of, like, Street Fighter joystick tricks going on. So I was like, oh, he's super good at video games, at, like, arcade games. And I really like that that's, like, the deal. It's kind of like with Kakuranger, Ranger, where it's, like, Tsuruhime is in charge, but, like, when they're fighting, it's Sasuke, because, like, that's what he's good at. So, yeah, pretty excited about Mega Ranger. That's what I'm trying to say here. Finally get to see everybody's weird head, helmet, superpower things. They get in the Zords, they start fighting him, they got the sword and the shield out, which is cool because the last time we saw the shield, it was just to break the atmosphere, and then they were like, we don't need this. But now they have it, and they use it as a shield because Stinking, like, fires a bunch of lasers at him. Also, totally walked past this. When they're fighting on the ground, he does just shoot a bunch of bees at him. At the Rangers.
Yes, and they are also CGI, but much better than the ones that came out of the Beehive.
Yeah.
Which were, like, drawn in MS Paint. These ones are at least created in a 3D modeling program.
They were, like, they looked like bees. That's what happened. Okay, so when they shoot around, he does not die on impact. They come down, and they shoot him again after he shoots them with bees, because they hate being shot with bees. Back to the Zord fight. They have the sword and the shield. They block with the shield and have the sword in their hand. The first thing they do in this fight is stab him in, like, through his gut. Did anyone else notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like,
and then they lift him up and throw him to the ground off of their sword.
This is rough. as cold as ice.
He's fine, though, because he gets up and, like, fires lasers at him. And that's when they use their shield, I think, to deflect them.
They just transform the sword into that weird shuttle-looking gun.
He shoots them, and I feel like it transformed into a gun off-screen.
Yeah, they reached off-screen and came back with a gun.
Because Sting King shoots them, and they're like, oh, you got bullets, and then they shoot him and he dies.
He, like, spins around and explodes. Like, this is a really good gun, I guess.
And then his spirit orb, and I'm going to stop with the Zelda there.
Okay.
You're at like, ice. Floats into the sky, and then that explodes.
I cut, like, 8 minutes of Zelda talk out of 258, I think it was, which is going up tomorrow when we record this. Yeah, like, 8 solid minutes of just us talking about Zelda, because it was real fresh. So, spirit orb goes up, explodes. Then we cut back to Astronema, who's coming through some, like, her, she's, like, in the back. She's, like, in her, she's like, I'm going to my room. She's coming back onto the bridge, and Elgar's following her, and she's like, number one, no more insects.
Yeah, because she says, like, as it's, like, an exterior shot, she's like, 2 bees, and they couldn't win?
Yeah, that's stupid.
And well, maybe you should have made sure, like, both bees were bad dudes.
Yeah, just that's like a bad
vet
plan.
Your monsters.
Yeah, to be like, hey, this guy's just like, he's literally just like hanging out in like a flowery area of the woods. Like, he's doing nothing. Let's get him to be to fight the Power Rangers. Like, you don't have anybody else you can call, or whoever was like putting the episode together, either Judd Lynn or Koichi Sakamoto, was like, you know what monster I loved from season one? Grumblebee. How do we get that back? And they're like, well, we do still have all of the costumes. Except for Rito. She says, no more insects, number one. Hard and fast rule. Everyone keep that in mind in case another insect pops up. We'll go back to this moment. So then she says, sound the alarms, get all the Quantrons together. I've got a plan for the next time we meet the Power Ranger. I hope that plan is 500 Quantrons, all try to stab them at once.
They can't block all of these weird sword blades.
I feel like if the Power Rangers had 100-to-1 odds, the Quantrons might be able to take this one home.
And then the only way to beat those odds was you recruit John Cena.
Or you could get Roman Reigns too. He's getting pretty good at odds overcoming. Get them both. Boom. You just even those odds. Then we cut back to Cassie and the others, and they catch up to Waspinator, who is like mad at himself for being a failure because he's not good at being a monster. And Cassie demorphs. This is what you were talking about earlier, or that we were talking about earlier, is that the rain, like, they're still in their suits because I guess they couldn't. They're like, we're gonna pay them, but only for 2 shots. So she goes up to Waspinator and she's like, what's up? And he's like, I'm a failure. I'm so bad at being a monster. And she's like, being nice isn't bad. That's good. That's kind of what you want to do. And he's like, you get easy for you to say you're a human. And it's like, oh, I see what you're trying to get at. Why'd you have to paint it in this weird, like, gay panic coat earlier in the episode, Power Rangers?
I got nothing. I don't know.
I just have, oh my God, the suit cries in my notes. So
it does. He starts crying, and
well, because the little girl comes back to her destroyed birthday, and she's crying because her balloons are gone, and he's like, I made that girl cry, and then he starts crying.
It was like shooting out of his face.
Yeah.
It was like someone had like a hose hooked up, and they like turn the hose on, and they're just like, wah. Because I looked up, and I was like, oh, come on. And then he's like, I'm out of here, and he runs away. And they're like, Waspinator, where are you going? And this is when the others demorph. And it's like, okay, now that he's gone, did you not want him to see you?
Maybe they were just making sure, to, like, in case he's, like, okay, faking it. 4 of us should be ready to take him down.
Right. Maybe. They're like, where'd he go? Oh, God. And they look up, and they see him flying around and wrangling these balloons from the air, because they haven't floated into the atmosphere yet, even though it's been like a solid 5 minutes.
Don't worry. The wiener balloon is front and center.
It's fine. So the balloons come back down like to the little girl, and she's like, yay, my balloons. And like,
My dong's back.
Yeah. My favorite dong balloon is back. What a big wing wang this balloon is. But real quick, he is a wasp, and they don't do great around balloons because of the stinger thing.
He grabbed the strings.
Okay.
And then flew them down, I think.
Well, I'll buy that. Then we end.
Cassie runs back out. She says the little girl's name, but I'm never gonna remember that in my life.
Alphaba.
She goes, "Isn't it great that your balloons came back, Alphaba?" And then Alphabet does this like this ridiculous like kind of smile,
staring right, like because Cassie's looking off at like where Waspinator like flew off to. So he's still just like out there in the world, and this little girl is just like doing this like right at the camera. And it's like, hey, don't look at the camera. I know you're a kid, but like, you couldn't do a second take. Right. Nobody noticed that. And that's where the episode ends.
Mercifully.
So, Joe, you are our guest. So you can start the best, worst, and MVP rounds. Who's the best?
Overall, the best, I would have to say, is the terrible crying suit effect.
That's pretty impressive. Because... they managed to get a lot of water out of that.
They did.
Josh?
I started the episode.
Oh, I... Okay,
so
you're
go
right.
Before me.
Okay. Okay, fine. It's the pants joke.
Yeah, I was going to say the pants joke,
it's
too.
It's the freestanding pants.
Either the pants joke or when the Quantrons are attacking the birthday party and Cassie is like still beating the crap out of them and doing a good job. That was also pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
Because we got a lot of good unmorphed Cassie fighting, and I was realized as she was fighting them, like, there's not a lot of unmorph fighting anymore.
Well, no, there's some from, there's been a...
I feel like this is not the first time I've said this.
No, I mean, there's been, like, a fair amount this season. I feel like there definitely could be more.
Yeah, it's not like the first season where everybody was hired because of their ability to do karate.
Yeah. I miss that.
Yeah.
I miss just like 5-minute long fight scenes in a park on a playground. That was pretty awesome.
We just like weird close-ups of posturing.
Yeah.
Classic Power Rangers.
So Joe, what is the worst?
Oh boy, there's so much.
I know you gotta pick just one.
I don't know. There are a couple weird line readings like in the suited footage. I don't know. It's hard to pin down a worst. I apologize for picking this episode.
It's fine. Someone had to do it. Well, no one had to do it. You did jump on a grenade for anybody who might have wanted to do this. What were some of the... Do you remember any of the line readings? Because the only one that comes to my mind specifically because it was so bad, it just overshadowed it, was, "You're a monster with a heart."
And they played it like three or four times.
Yeah, they kept showing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was really bad. I have written in my notes, "My bees."
That was stinking, right? When his bees got shot. Oh no. Aren't you worried about my bees?
Oh. No, Sting King.
No, Marky Mark. We're not worried about your bees. So I'm gonna say the worst is, oh man, it is real hard just to pick just one. I'm gonna say the worst is I don't know. It's gotta be them, like Astronema and Ecliptor and Stink, like the bad guys all being like, "Let's get this monster." Oh no, you know what? I'm gonna say it's the gay panic. It's the fact that he's super campy and like kind of offensive. Like that's gotta be the worst, right?
Probably. Yeah, we forgot about that part. Ugh.
That's probably for the best.
I think the whole space fight could have just been cut.
Been better, yeah.
Look, they had space fight footage.
I know, but it was very bad. It was like obviously just a black background with some lights on it, and like it was only shot from the bust up.
It wasn't even black, it was like blue.
Yeah, it's only shot from the bust up because they're just standing on a floor, and like you can still tell it just looks like a bad camera.
So, Joe, lastly, who was the MVP?
The dong balloon.
Good answer.
It had a lot of scenes, a lot more than I would have expected a dong balloon to have.
A lot more than the other Power Rangers did.
I think the dong balloon was in more scenes than the rest of the Power Rangers.
I think it's got second billing under Cassie for the episode.
I think so. It's the new Blue Ranger. Guys, that wing-wang balloon is the new Blue Ranger. I'm gonna say the MVP is Cassie for me. Like, you shake your head.
I'm thinking if that's okay, what I want to go okay with or not. But
hedging your bets.
I can't think of anyone who did a better job this episode than Cassie. Cassie gets the MVP just for that Let's Rock It, because she was so
that was
mad.
Awesome. That was my favorite, yeah, maybe my favorite moment of the episode. If it wasn't for those pants, that would have been my best. But those pants are just so stupid. Just, I love it. So that's it. Any other final thoughts on Wasp with a Heart?
Just one. I really liked that the Bulk and Skull stuff overlapped with Power Rangers stuff this time. That was neat.
Yeah.
I was. They haven't done that. Joe, any final thoughts?
I'm sorry.
I mean, look, we had to watch the episode either way. I'm glad you were on. True. Made it funner. Yeah. That's for sure. So before we let you go then, why don't you let people know where they can find you on the internet?
Oh boy. There's a lot. I'm on Twitter at @Joe_Hunter. I'm on Patreon at patreon.com/Joe_Hunter. See, our Tumblr is joebloodyhunter.tumblr.com. And I think that's also my Instagram. So that's all the places you can find me.
Yeah. And your Patreon is pretty neat, because you post like art you're doing earlier. We didn't mention this. We're bad at having guests. You're an artist.
Yeah,
you do,
sorry.
You do comedy stuff. Yeah, we're sorry. This is on us. We're just terrible at talking to people, I guess.
Yeah, no, I am too. But yeah, this now, so.
Because you do Radical Guardian Skater X with Chris Sims.
Yeah.
Which is, it's skateboarding Kamen Rider, so it rules. and you post like early pages and stuff on Patreon and stuff like that?
Process stuff, stuff that I'm doing that I can't quite talk about in public yet.
Secrets.
Yeah, so that's fun.
Cool. So yeah, go check out Joe's stuff, and definitely read Radical Guardian Skater X. It's super fun.
Yeah, the third issue might actually be out by the time you read this or listen to this. Sorry, God.
If they're reading this, then that means somebody is transcribing this, in which case, let us know so I can thank you. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that's that.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So that's going to do it for us for today. We'll see you next time with an episode. I don't remember what it was.
I didn't pull it up, so I don't have
hold
it.
Hold on, I'm doing it now. The Delta Discovery. Okay.
That episode has Deoxys in it.
I hate Deoxys. But until next time,
may the power protect you.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rangers in space.
I got my first note, like, we're not talking about the show yet, but my first note is just, oh no, this bee.